For 10 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
And today we're broadcasting from inside a house currently used as the office building for renovations. A lot of the homes in this Prescott area that were built over 100 years ago have been turned into offices around Knob Hill.
That's what this area is called, Knob Hill. This house was never part of Knob Hill. This is where the service people would live.
We're joined with Tom Riley of Renovations. We're going to be talking about the sustainable role in reducing our energy demand by increasing our building practices and building science. And as we've covered this, one of our listeners, Jay, he sent us a questioning email that when it came in, a lot of the office kind of like,
he's gunning for us.
Did it sound something like this?
No, our exchange was a little more civilized than that. But he said, hey, I was just wondering, Rosie on the House was so feverishly on the side of APS customers last year, and now this year it seems like you're so much on the side of APS. Or am I missing something? And it's really hard to separate, but I think it's two different things. The APS rate case, I do think there was a lot of crooked corruption that went on, and with their parent company and the way it very much seems and apparent they bought and paid for the commissioners to get a rate case change they wanted. But what we haven't talked about that at all in this month, what we've talked about is our tour of the power plant, the grid system, and the delivery. It is in a very impressive operation. It is a very impressive delivery system. The grid is a fascinating thing and adds a huge amount of comfort to our daily lives. And I kind of look at it in another way. We all value our local police and fire departments, but I think we could all have endless amount of grievances of the government above it. It's kind of like the same thing with the power. We've got great power, great grid system, and we all appreciate it. But do we have huge grievances with the politics and the corruption that happen above our heads? And although it is the same topic, I think it's two different things, being impressed and appreciative of the power that's delivered, but still being aggravated by the big money above it. And then he said, so he was very appreciative of our response that we sent back and said it just seemed like the tone was different. Well, and he was specifically referring to our power question, because I asked him, did he hear our segment last week about solar energy? And because that was another one of our listeners' aggravations, that there's not a competition. You can, areas of Houston, I think you have up to six or seven different options on who you want to buy your power from. Do you want to give your money to A company A, B, or C? And we don't have that option in Arizona. You're on TEP, you're on SRP, you're on APS, you're on any one of the nine major utility providers. But you don't have an option. You can't say, well, I live here, I want to pay SRP for my money, not APS. You don't have that option. Well, solar is your competition to that for daytime use. And he said, yeah, but it seemed like there was, even then, it seemed like the tone was more favoring. Well, we had a partner in with us, one of our solar partners, and every solar installer is still partnered with the utility company. And the last thing they want to do is go badmouth their
partners in power.
Yeah, because all the solar systems are tied to the grid, and they work in partnership with it. But I will say Kyle did get a few little, that they were very subtle about rate changes coming in. Do you trust your power company to make a rate change that's going to reduce your bill? He had a few very subtle comments, if you caught them, that were funny. But
well, and I think I caused some of the confusion a year ago, because when the new rate case was approved, we've been trying to encourage people down in the deserts to use their home for thermal storage, so that in the off-peak hours, you turn the thermostat down as low as you can stand it, and turn your house basically into a refrigerator. And then on peak hours, your air conditioner just sleeps. As a matter of fact, your whole house just sleeps. You're buying power at 1/4 the price. Instead of 24 cents a kilowatt, you're paying 6 cents a kilowatt. And I tell people if they take their APS power bill specifically, take a look at the total number of kilowatts, the total dollars invested. If you're paying over 12 or 13 cents a kilowatt, you're not managing your power consumption correctly. And we felt like the new power rate was going to obliterate the chance for supercooling, which we had trained thousands, tens of thousands of people to do. But in fact, if you can still delay cooking till 8 o'clock, you can still have a power bill. I mean, my power bill, air conditioning, 3,400 square feet, a swimming pool, grandkids running in and out of the house all day long, mom leaving lights on every day in every room for all day.
I am better about that. You can ask Dan.
I'm still with all that. I'm still at under 10 cents a kilowatt. And it's just a matter, and I don't think I'm unlivable with what I ask. I mean, we don't really significantly change our lifestyle. We're just strategic about, you know, we do a lot of gas. We have a gas kitchen, so we do a lot of our cooking at night, you know, in a gas pot.
Or barbecuing out with the
or barbecue outside.
Tank.
Yeah, absolutely. So I did kind of jump down APS's throat about a year ago, thinking they're really messing with us. But as the new plan kicked in, we just had to learn how to remanipulate it. And so once you learn how to remanipulate, so I've softened my position on the APS rate change because it really, there are some people that actually are saving more money now than they were back then. So, and the people who have seen large price increases are still haven't adjusted their power consumption to start after 8 o'clock. Invariably, when somebody says, my bills are up 30 and 40%, I say, well, you've still got your programmable thermostat set to go on at 7:15, and you got to change that to 8:15. And quit fast charging your Tesla when you get home at 5:30 in the afternoon.
Which is a small percent of people.
Yeah. But you do that one time and pay $600, you remember it.
And
so there you go. There's the follow-up on APS.
And breaking it down, $600 is not fun. That's what we've got to pay this month for our APS bill. And you think, wow, how big of a home? This is 2,200 square feet, but we've got a couple things that consume a lot of energy. When you divide that down to the day, to the hour, to live comfortably, and what that is cents per hour, like, you know what? For the quality of life and for the kids and the family to live comfortably in a 100-plus triple-digit weather, you know, I don't enjoy riding that, but I'm not going to not ride it. And I think that's where a lot of people get the passion gets built up, as they feel like they're stuck and no one feels like they like being stuck. And
stuck by the man.
Right, yeah. Take it to the man. So at the point you're ready to remodel a home, let's look at increasing the efficiency of that home and reducing our need for demand by thermal bridging and other sustainable practices. And Tom, you want to just run through, I don't think we have enough time to cover all those certifications on the wall, but maybe one or two of the highlights of the education you've done in the sustainable and LEED world.
Well, I'm a LEED accredited professional. And I've been that way since probably for about 10 years now. And there's a series of study and testing that you have to go through in order to be able to achieve that. And I'm a member of the United States Green Building Council, the U.S. Forest Stewardship Council, things like that. Those certifications basically mean that I've learned a little bit about how to do things sustainably in the construction industry.
And sustainable reduces the demand that we have on the grid to heat and cool our home through efficiencies and not only materials, but building practices.
Well, the whole idea, the whole notion of sustainability is that you're practicing a particular way of doing things that is something that is does not have a net extraction from a footprint that you leave on the planet. Basically, sustainable is something that just that. It can sustain itself. It keeps going on and on and on. And it's not something that consumes a whole great deal of whatever it is, energy or whatever. And remodeling in and of itself is probably one of the most sustainable construction programs you can have out there, because basically you're recycling houses. You know, you're recycling buildings. And the amount of energy that it takes to create the products that go into a new building, you know, is also considered part and parcel of what that building is, what kind of a footprint that building is leaving.
And you spent time out at Arcos Santi, if I remember correctly.
I spent 5 years out there.
Five?
Yes, I was out there for 5 years. It was a great, great, great experience. And it was, like Paula would say, he says, I think it's time for you to go find your own mesa. And I did.
And for somebody that doesn't know, just explain real quick what Arcos Santi is.
Well, Arcos Santi is, it's called an arcology, and it's an experiment. It's an experiment in an urban environment, trying to create an urban environment that is three-dimensional as opposed to two-dimensional. Two-dimensional would be Phoenix. You know, those kinds of things where things are spread out long ways and what have you, a lot of roadways and what have you. If you take the cars out of a place like Phoenix, or if you take the roadways even out of a place like Manhattan and bring all the buildings together, it's trying to create a three-dimensional, dense urban living environment for a lot of different reasons. It's another, not only energy. Energy is a big part of what that does, and it's much easier to be able to energize a city like that, like an arcology, than it would be just the two-dimensional cities. But overall, there's a lot of things that come along with being in an urban environment that is a benefit.
And we'll continue that conversation here at Rosie on the House after this. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.
Don't get your windows replaced until you get an education and a quote from the experts at Pella Windows. So we've got Adam Homer in. Do you often change the window product as you go around the house?
Oftentimes, customers wanting to turn a window into a door. If somebody wants to take an operable window, maybe that they don't ever open, we turn those into picture windows.
Would you change glazing options as you go around a house?
You know, I guess intuitively it kind of makes sense. I mean, I understand why people think that maybe I'll do, your best sun defense glass on the west and south exposure, and maybe do something different and less expensive on the north and east side of the house. I mean, when it's 115 degrees outside, it's 115 degrees outside, whether the sun's on it or not. I mean, you're going to put sun defense glass, if you're here in the valley, throughout your whole home.
Take the time to think through the right door and window.
Pella's two locations in Scottsdale and Tucson. Find them at rosieonthehouse.com under Certified Partners.